The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
Gasoline prices are going up.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 10th day of August, 2012. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow down 15, S&P down 2, NASDAQ down 6, gold up about $3, and crude blowing in the wind. Michael, where's crude?
Crude right now we have at 92.77. I don't know what its status is on the day, though, up or down.
It's down 58 cents. Okay. So crude's down 58 cents, but as I think I heard somewhere, gas prices are going up?
Wouldn't surprise me. I mean, the crude prices are going up. Gas prices tend to follow. So
that was David in the background.
Oh, was it?
He was telling somebody gas prices were going up. Okay. Well, I was off yesterday. I was at the Arizona Supreme Court at a meeting that everything went well, and Foster Care Review Board, and really nice people. They volunteer their time. First time I went there, I've been there a number of times now. The first time I went there several years ago, I sort of had a bad attitude, you know, a bunch of do-gooders, nothing better to do than volunteer their time, sit around and make judgments on people, and I guess I had a chip on my shoulder. So I've always been sort of an anti-government sort, in a way. But now, partially because things have gone well. I saw in myself yesterday, as I sat across the table from these ladies, I saw them as just very nice people. Concerned citizens giving of their time and their energy to make decisions and recommendations that were in the best interest of children who had become wards of the state or were about to become wards of the state. And so, again, now I'm conscious of the fact that part of the reason that over the years and over the series of review boards that I've changed my perspective is because things have gone the way I wanted them to go. Obviously, if things had gone differently, then I might have a different opinion. So, but anyway, it's always interesting to go into the world of other people. See, they do that every day on a daily basis. I'm down there a couple times a year, but you walk in, you know, there's something about walking into the Supreme Court, even if it's not the Supreme Court, if it's just the Arizona State Supreme Court. There's those hallowed halls and all that goes on. Back in the real world, 9 men are on trial in China for helping a 17-year-old boy sell his kidney for cash to buy an iPad and an iPhone. The defendants, the 9 men on trial, are medical staff from an area hospital and a man named He Wei colorfully describes the young man who sold his kidney as being pitiless and frustrated over gambling debts. The 17-year-old, identified as Wang, suffered renal failure after the surgery, and prosecutors are now seeking $356,000 dollars in compensation for intentional injury. Now, if this young man had not suffered renal failure after the surgery, we would have never heard the story, and he would be enjoying life with his iPhone and his iPad. Think about that. This is in a country of 1 billion people, many who are penniless and poverty-stricken and at the mercy of the government and so forth and so on. We all know the issues there. There are too many to list. But this is one story that's hit the media. And China's very good at keeping negative stories like this out of the media. How this one slipped through, I don't know. But if this is happening, you know, again, this instance made it into the papers because it went wrong. Only because the kid had a problem after the surgery. And the 9 men on trial, the part I found, you know, quite interesting, they weren't thugs who, you know, hit him over the head in a back alley and harvested one of his kidneys. These are medical staff from an area hospital where he lives. So it's not like this was done in a back alley. This was done in a hospital operating room. This morning, corn futures went haywire after the crop report. The corn report for the U.S. was about as ugly as it gets. But after corn future prices briefly hit an all-time high of 8.437 per bushel, they sunk back to 8.20. Was automated program trading to blame? Kinda. According to Kevin Van Trump, CEO of Kansas City-based Farm Direction, he said that the algos jumped on the big numbers early, but as floor traders digested the other major reports from the USDA, prices started to rattle around. That data, worldwide supply and demand, showed foreign corn production for 2012 and 13 was mostly unchanged. China, Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, and South Africa all saw increases, though they were offset by reductions for EU 27, Ukraine, India, Serbia, Russia, Croatia, Moldova, and Canada. Van Trump said he does not think the volatility will last, that it'll get ironed out. But the corn farmers are experiencing the worst drought in, I don't know if it's in history, but it's certainly in many years. Many years. So, that's kind of it for the news. The market this week has been asleep at the wheel. Now, we talked last week about how I think only two weekly trading zones got hit, which was just strange, just odd. This week, we've only touched one. Often, we'll cross two zones in a day. Or we'll go from zone to zone, back to the zone, and sometimes back to the zone. This is Sunday night. We come down, we hit the 90-91 zone, we spike a little bit below it, we rally on Monday, and we come back and we put in a double bottom right here at the low of the week, which was 87.50. Yeah, 87.50. And then we rally into Tuesday, and we don't make it quite up to the next zone at 05.06. We get to 14.03 and a quarter, which becomes the high of the week right there. That's it. As we roll across, hey, that's Tuesday. Early Wednesday morning, we come back. Well, actually, Tuesday morning, we come back down to test the zone at 90.91. We go up, put in the high of the week. We come back Wednesday morning to test the 1390.91 weekly zone. And I got that wrong. This was actually the high of the week at 1403.75.
Yeah, 43.75.
That was the high of the week right there. But we still don't quite make it to 1405. We get within a point and a quarter. Remember, zones are an area, but this is odd. And then Thursday, I was absent. Market sold off a little bit. Rallied a little bit, very little. Sold off into last night. Not even able to get back down to the 90.91. We spiked it. This spike this morning down and got as low as 92. We got within 1 point. And then here we sit, right in the middle. Okay. Now, we could go back through 2 years of charts, 2+ years of charts, and you would not see 1 week like this. You wouldn't. Now, on a daily chart, we have what's shaping up to be, and I don't have a good tool for drawing that, but we have what's shaping up here to be what's called a rounding top. Especially if we get a lower close today. If we get a higher close, then we might have a couple more days of this rounding top action. But that is what it really is beginning to look like. And once that rounding top is in place, then we could see lows down at 51. And the next stop down would be 23. And then below that, 09. And that's just looking at, you know, places where the market has found support on pullbacks on its way up. Could the picture change? Could something send the market substantially higher? It's always a possibility. I'm simply commenting that it's starting to look, and rounding tops tend to be pretty powerful and have the ability to push the market down rather significantly. Okay. So just keep an eye on that as we head into next week. Now, this right here, this is the entire week. The entire week has a 16-point range. Is that what I figured out this morning, Mike, when I did the math?
I believe it was that, yeah. Yep.
16 points, guys. The average daily range up until this week, and this will skew the numbers somewhat, the average daily range of the S&P 500, day session or Globex, either one, 18 to 20 points. That's just a statistical figure. You can drop your little tool on there that says ATR. In fact, insert, indicator, volatility, average true range. Okay. Now, we're only looking back 14 days here. And we're still pegged at about 18 right there. I think the look-back period on this is that right? 14 days? Is that the default?
I think so, yeah.
Let's have a look.
Well, it actually depends on what time frame you're on, but if you're on a daily, I think it's 14, yeah.
Yeah, let's see if...
Oh, the average true range, yeah.
Let's see how far it'll take me back.
I don't know if it'll go 60.
Yeah, I don't think it will, but we'll max it out.
Okay.
Now, by maxing it out, okay, which doesn't put as much weight on the recent days, we've still got an average true range on a daily basis of 20 points. Okay? So that figure, that's a true figure there. My point is not about the average daily true range changing, but that, look at this week. Now, last Thursday and Friday, let me pull this out of the way so I can read it. The low last Thursday was 49 and a quarter. Call it 50. The high was 90 and a half. So from last Thursday to the close of business on Friday, the market moved 40 points. 5 days in a row, we've been stuck in a 16-point range. So why do I keep hammering that point? Well, because it's unusual. It's not something you see every day. Now, I'll talk about one last thing really quick, and then, oh my gosh, it's already 20 minutes. Here's a print from the Spider. We noticed some unusual activity this morning in the markets. A spike down came out of nowhere. And one of our partners, Charles, sent me an email that I read part of during the break about high-frequency trading. And, okay, now if you were trading the Spider this morning, the SPY ETF, you would be ticked if you were, look at this, price was at 1430, 140.30, 140.29, 140.29. And all of a sudden, this thing prints 139.91, and then it goes right back to 140.29. Now, is this the HFT at work? I don't know. I'm not able to make a case for or against. There are arguments that that's good for traders. There's arguments that it's bad for traders. There's a good article that Charles sent me, and I'll put a link to it tonight in the blog so all of you that have any interest can go and read it. But how it affected us is it showed up right here over the course of these two candles. What would you say that was, about 30 seconds, Michael?
Yep, about that.
These two candles right here, about 30 seconds. Now, the market was just so very quiet, just. And then out of nowhere, the bottom fell out. And then, not as quickly as it dropped, but almost, it recovered. And this is that same action that I was just showing you on that time and sales from the Spider. We're seeing that right here. So, okay. Alrighty then, Michael, let me let you do your thing.
All right. Let me grab the charts. There we go. All right, everyone. everyone should be looking at my charts at the moment. And let me also get the... That's it. Okay, I have the charts. Everybody's looking at my stuff. Let me get the recording going. All right. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Friday, August 10th, 2012. Let me just give you the results first. In the morning session, the live trading room, we had one losing crude trade, so we lost 8 ticks on that. We had one losing ES trade, but it wasn't a full loss. It was only 1 point that we lost. I slipped 1 tick on a break-even trade as well, so it was -5 ticks on the ES and -8 ticks on the crude. That was the results from the morning's trading. Now, if you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply to sign up for the free trial. With the free trial, you get 5 days in our live trading room. You get access to all the data feeds for commodities and the charting platform that you see in front of you. From Daniel's Trading at DT Pro. And you get all of our indicators for that 5 day free trial period. All right. If you have any questions about anything or anything like that in that 5 day free trial period, you know, that's the time to throw them out there to us and we will do our best to get them answered for you. All right. That said, let's move on to the actual trades. We didn't take very many trades today. Again, the markets this whole week have been incredibly flat. It doesn't look so flat when you're looking at it right here, but when you're actually trading it from the live trading room in the period where it was tradable, from right here to right here was an hour. We didn't get any opportunity there. From right here to right there was a half an hour. We didn't get any opportunity on this pullback. This is the long trade that I took right here. Now, the setup is for the MA1, which is the blue and red line right here, to be above the green line, which is the BBC. Right, it crosses above, then you start looking for long trades. Once price pulls away from it like this, you're anticipating it's going to come back down and look for an area of support. The support being the BBC. So it came down, tested the BBC. Then I looked down here to see if I have bullish divergence between the green line and the cycle portion of the slingshot. We did have the bullish divergence, so I took a long right there, and it went up to the MA1, was rejected, and it stopped me out before it eventually went back. It stopped me out. Now, I had 8 ticks risk on it, and it went down 10, so I would have needed an 11-tick stop in this particular case to stay in that trade. But you can see the direction was right, and it did eventually go up. All right, it went up fairly significantly. I think I was in at 92.65, and it ran up to 93.20 for a 55-tick move. That's $550. That was the only trade that I took this morning on the crude oil. There was another opportunity that was starting to come together over here, but by the time it actually came together, the cycle portion was moving up too high, so we didn't look at that. There was another one over here that did actually come together, but that was just while Dwayne was talking there a few minutes ago. We had a bearish cross, a test of the BBC with a down close, and we had bearish divergence down here. So there was an opportunity to get short in there at 92.80, and it dropped down to 92.70 for a $100 contract profit potential if you took it. All right, that was the crude oil. The NQ, I took a few trades on the NQ this morning. All of them break even. Or two trades on the NQ. Both of them break even. There were a couple of opportunities, though. These rectangles that I drew in here, or the squares is what they are, that I drew in here this morning, those illustrate places where you could have taken momentum trades on the way up or on the way down. The actual ellipses are the setups that we teach everybody in the live trading room in the morning. The other things are things that we've taught in the partners meetings and we've alluded to in the live trading room in the morning. Even here in the past, we've alluded to them. Or we discussed them, I'll say. We had a bullish cross test of the BBC with an up close. It was an opportunity to get long right there. Here we had a bearish cross test of the BBC with a down close. Bearish divergence here and bullish divergence here. So there was an opportunity on both of those to take a trade. There was one over here and another one over here, bullish cross, tested the BBC up close, tested the BBC again with the up close, with the bullish divergence in both of these cases. Okay. Now, someone in the live trading room this morning asked if I was going to take this one right here. And when I was looking at it, I didn't want to take this one right here because it was still this one working itself out as far as the divergence goes. But once we pulled back and we got better divergence, then I was thinking the next one would be okay to trade right in here. Okay. I didn't get in on those. I ended up missing them. I did try to get in on them, but I wasn't fast enough. I couldn't find my dump fast enough, I don't think. Here we had a bearish cross, a test of the BBC with a down close. I took that trade. I ended up taking a break even on it. Over here we had a bullish cross up there, test of the BBC with an up close. We had bullish divergence here and bearish divergence there. I took that trade. I ended up taking a break even on that one as well. I think that was the last trade that I took on the NQ. And you can see how choppy it's been in here. You know, I did not take another trade on the NQ. Now, let's look at the ES quickly. In the ES, I took two trades? Three trades. What did I take this morning? I took three trades this morning, okay? My first trade was right here. After the open, price had put in a lower swing right here. You know, right at the open, right here. Price was coming off of the BBC, and I said I want to see a lower swing before I enter a trade. We did get a lower swing in there. It came back up, tested the BBC, and that's where I went short. I shorted it, and once it came down here and filled the window of opportunity right here, I moved my stop to break even. Price eventually went, I believe it went 2 points. It did go 2 points from my entry. I ended up taking a break even on the trade. Okay. We didn't put in a lower swing, so I wasn't looking to get short right here. When I say a lower swing, I mean we didn't drop below this pivot. I was thinking the whole time, though, that we were going to work our way down to the weekly trading zone. But at the time, the YM was putting in lower lows when the ES wasn't. And eventually, the YM stopped putting in lower lows and started to move up, and the ES moved up with it. All right. Now, I did not take this long trade right here because we had put in a lower high right there. All right. And this is what Dwayne was talking about earlier. Once it put in that lower high, I had drawn this trend line up here, and price came up, tested that trend line, and was rejected from it. At that point, I think Dwayne put his sell order on right down here at 96 and a quarter. All right. Because it was rejected up here, and we thought that this right here was going to be the top. Dwayne did say in the live trading room this morning that he was going to sell 96 and a quarter, and he put that on, and it was actually less than 30 seconds, I think. It was more like 10 seconds that it dropped from here down to here. Now, you can see this is the trend line right here that it hit. And we had this upper trend line up here. Price pulled back up and tested the BBC. I shorted it there at the BBC when it came up there. And it gave a point profit, went down, and filled the window of opportunity. Once it had done that, I moved my stop to break even, and it took me out of break even. Now, let me move these arrows around so you can see it a little better. It did all that right in here. Like I was stopped out of break even on that bar before we had a close below this trend line. And I was telling everyone in the live trading room that if it closed below that trend line, there was a good chance that it was going to keep going down. All right, it should open the door to lower prices. Normally, it would open the door to lower prices. In this particular case, though, it closed there, and I put a one-point stop on it. So my stop was right up here. And it went down, hit the MA1 again, and again the MA1 held it in place, and it went up and stopped me out. All right. Right now we have a bullish cross, a test of the BBC, so you could be long right here. There's no real reason why you wouldn't be long right here. The trend line, for everyone that's been following the trend lines that I've been drawing, the trend line down was right there. Okay. So we need to close up above that trend line. If we close up above that trend line, it should open the door to higher prices. All right. That was the ES this morning. Now, let me just show you something that was going on with the ES, with the YM, while I was doing this on the ES. Where the heck was it? This is 10:09. You can't see it. This way. All right. When it pulled back up here to the BBC on the ES, it also pulled back up here to the BBC on the YM. This is a 500 contract. The 20 was in the middle of the envelope down here, suggesting it was going to be okay. Or was it? No, it had just come out of the envelope. Either way, it went down and it filled the window of opportunity. We talked about that. This was the lower price I was referring to when I said the YM was putting in lower lows while the ES was not. Then the YM started off of that low that it put there, it just started to move up. And once it did, It just kept going. All right. I wanted to point that out as well. There was pretty much on every time that there was an opportunity to buy or sell the BBC on the YM, it filled the window of opportunity, which is the space between the BBC and the MA1. Okay, it did it again over here, there, down to there. Over here, the window of opportunity was right here, up to here. It just filled that. And on the ES, it did the same thing. Every time it hit the BBC, it filled the window of opportunity before it, you know, completed its move one way or the other. All right. And that, my friends, is the recap for today. So we ended the day down 5 ticks on the ES and down 8 ticks on the crude. Okay? If anybody has any questions, you can email us at support@cfrn.net. If you haven't taken the free trial and you want to take the free trial, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. All right. There you have it. The recording is off, so we can jump out to Vegas.
The showbiz, as I say, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Okay. Two things I want to share with you guys really quick, and then we'll go right on to Vegas. Okay. I don't have a little thing in my car that shows you how little gas I used. Wait a minute. I have a sound effect for that.
Oh.
I know. However, I do have a picture of somebody else's car that I can show you, their BMW. Anyway, this is kind of cool news. Every day when the show starts, you hear from one of our sponsors, Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. This is kind of cool. Stitcher now comes in the BMW and the Mini. So, if you have a BMW or one of those little Mini Coopers, a new one, it's got Stitcher Radio built in, and you can listen to CFRN as you're driving around town. Now, with this new partnership, the CFRN radio program is now available in over 4 million cars on the road. Doggone it, I got a sound effect for that too. I need a studio audience. I have a studio audience for that. That's pretty cool, huh, Michael?
That is. That is pretty cool.
We're in 4 million cars.
That is cool.
And they're not bad cars, BMW and a Mini. I mean, I know they suck up a lot of gas, but still. But hang on. We're not stopping there. Stitcher launches in GM vehicles. Let's hear it for the Chevy Volt. Stitcher's committed to getting Stitcher into as many cars as possible. So they've launched a platform now. And they'll be taking a deeper look at Chevy integration later this summer. So more news to follow. So listen for your shows and a car dashboard near you. So that's kind of cool news. The other kind of cool news is... You guys are cool. Because the other day, I told you that I had written an article about Facebook. And I gave you a link here, and I said, you know, maybe you, if you have some spare time, you might go over and read the article. And if you like it, you could click the like button, or you could Google Plus it, or whatever it is that you want to do. Well, I appreciate that very much, guys. You're awesome. The title of the article was, Is Facebook Still a Gamble? And it's everything that I've been talking about over the last few weeks about Facebook. And the article got syndicated. And I know that that doesn't mean anything to most people, but it is kind of a thing. And so the article got syndicated. If you Google, Is Facebook Still a Gamble? It's on Tech Investor News. It's on Business Bala. It's on Topics. It's on All Voices. It's kind of all over the internet, which is sort of a cool thing. And I think that part of that had to do with you guys going over, reading the article, liking it, Google Plusing it, and all of that. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's it's neat to have an article that is syndicated that goes worldwide. And I appreciate that. And I'm working on another article. I haven't gotten much of it done. And if time permits this weekend, I'll finish it. If time or inspiration permits, forced writing is a difficult thing. So there, an inspiration, it's a nebulous thing. It comes and it goes. Some people can just sit down and grind it out. And sometimes I find that if I sit down and just grind, and I'm talking about writing, but you can apply this to any endeavor that you tend to want to put off. Sometimes if you just force yourself to sit down and start doing it, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes into it, you're actually into it. See? You might sit around waiting for inspiration to clear your desk or balance your checkbook for a really long time. But once you actually begin the physical task of doing the job that you've been procrastinating and putting off or whatever, you actually find that you kind of get into it. And so that's my word of encouragement, and I'm trying to encourage myself because I do really want to write the article, Hip to Be Square, which goes back to the little device I told you that's going to be showing up in all the Facebook, not Facebook, all the Starbucks across the country. And if you walk into a Starbucks with a smartphone in your pocket that has that app in it, okay, they're going to have your picture and your name right there on the register. You won't have to hand them any cash or a credit card or write a check or swipe your phone. It'll just happen seamlessly. And so this is a real shift here. What do they call that? A paradigm shift in the way we do business. Now, you know, this may seem like a new thing here in America, paying for stuff with a smartphone, but in Africa, where many people don't even have a home, some people don't even have a hut, but they have a cell phone. They're not really smartphones, they're kind of old school. I mean, they do text and whatnot, but they've been using those phones to make mobile payments for all kinds of things for years. Pastor Chris, he goes in and pays his electric bill every month with his cell phone. I won't go into all the details of how that worked, but you can Google it. Mobile payment processing in third world countries. It's been very popular there for some time. Now, this is a whole new high-tech switch on the whole thing. But you can go look at the horse and buggy version of how this has been going on for many years in some of the poorest of countries, Africa, India, where the average person does not have a bank account. And so since don't have the ID, don't have the minimum deposit to open a bank account, they have cell phones which somehow are sold there very cheaply, and they can go down to the cell phone provider and they can have, you know, $5 put on their phone. That allows them to go to the grocery store and spend $2 and go to the water store and spend $1 by just sending a little text message to the storekeeper's phone. But anyway, enough of all that. Thanks a lot for the clicks. Appreciate it so much. And I'll put a link out later in the show for those of you who maybe didn't read the article and you might want to read it and go click it. And if I do get the new article written this weekend, you'll be the first to know. True story. All right. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Stronger, and I always knew me too. I know you feel.
Good morning, Dwayne.
David Williams from PageTrader.com. Good morning to you, sir.
Oh, nice to be here. And good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Well, I want everybody to know that today is not a good day to come to Las Vegas, Nevada. And here's why. Because you'll melt along with all of your belongings. That's why. It's going to be 113 degrees today here in Las Vegas.
It was 100.
That's really hot.
It was 116 here on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's just illegal. They don't allow that
anymore. I don't know what it was yesterday, but I'm thinking it was 13, 14, somewhere in that. We've been under what they call an extreme heat warning or extreme heat advisory.
Right.
Which is like, I don't know, that's legalese for really hot, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's a bad time to visit Arizona as well. But for personal knowledge, it is going to be very, very hot. It was very, very hot yesterday. I think this is, you know, we're probably at the peak now of summertime where we're going to get our peak temperatures here. And then hopefully at the end of August, we'll start to see some cooling here. But it's been a pretty good toasty summer out here.
I heard that the mayor of Las Vegas may declare martial law and enforce all of the casino operators to prop their doors open.
I didn't hear that one.
To try to
we have really good air conditioning inside those casinos.
Why would they want to do that?
Oh, good morning, Robin.
And good morning.
Good morning, Robin. To cool off the city.
That's very good, Dwayne.
Well, I tell you, I played tennis in that heat for 2.5 hours and thought I was going to die. Oh,
that's
my
dangerous.
Goodness.
That's very dangerous.
It's not good.
I'll tell you, when you go into casinos, the very best places on earth to be in a heat wave is a casino because there's nothing like a casino for air conditioning. They make people wonderfully, they'll go to such lengths to make you comfortable with the cooling. And I mean, you cannot even dream that it would be hot outside when you're in these casinos. They're chilled right down. You have to wear a sweater or whatever. These are huge buildings, massive, massive, millions and millions of square feet, and all of it is completely air-conditioned, just iced down. It's amazing. And that's because gambling is a very lucrative business. Try to keep the patient comfortable as he's, you know, playing the games. But it is very cool in there, and air conditioning is an amazing thing. When you think about it, if you think about how it works, it's even more amazing. You're simply blowing air over a cold coil, and the air transfers its heat to the coil, and that lowers the temperature of the air. You know, it's kind of freaky in a way. But, you know, you've been to the beach where you feel the cool ocean. You know, there's no colder place on earth than nighttime, like in San Francisco, where the cold air is blowing across that water, and that water cools the air. It absorbs the heat in the air, and that's why it's bone-chillingly cold. That, and you add a little moisture to the air, if the humidity, precipitation is anything, you've drawn all the heat out of the air, and it's moist. Oh, you know, you're just going to be, you know, people like me, people who always say, well, I never wear a jacket. Get me close to an ocean at nighttime where the air has some humidity in it, and I'm just crumpled into a little ball somewhere. That tough guy image just falls away pretty quick.
The coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco.
Yeah, I believe you.
I think that's a Mark Twain quote.
Okay, the last time I was in San Francisco, my daughter was taking a 1 year cooking at the San Francisco Culinary Institute. She was there, and I was in San Francisco to either bring her there or pick her up, and for a while I was out and about. San Francisco has some very strange and fun, but strange all the same, things going on, one of which is literally a show that goes on the sidewalk that isn't listed in any of the city's various attractions. It's basically a man who dresses up as a shrub. He looks like bushes. And when people, unsuspecting people, walk by him, he moves suddenly, and the people freak out. And a whole line of people across the street from where he is will start lining up just to watch him surprise and just practically give a heart attack to ordinary passerbys. And this goes on for hours.
And then those same people will come across the street, and because it is a show, they'll put, you know, they'll pay him some money. You know, they tip him or whatever you call it, a donation for him doing that show. So he's just dressed up as a shrub, and he's doing his shrub show. So that's kind of
say that 10 times fast.
Yeah, shrub show. Try saying toy boat 5 times in a row. Just give it a shot right now. Toy boat.
Toy
it goes
boat.
Away really quickly, doesn't
toy
it?
Toy boat.
So it's a tough one too. Anyway, yeah, it gets cold. So it's been very hot here in Las Vegas, so this isn't a good day to come. It's also not the greatest day to trade in the markets because the markets are very, very quiet. This is more normal summertime behavior. Normal meaning in the summertime, we expect volatility to drop off.
16-point range all week, the entire week.
Yeah, very small range from today, from the 99 high to the 92 low. That's 7 points. It's not a lot. So, and the week is extremely small. So you want to keep that in mind. It might be a good idea to go get some of your other things done. You know, make a list of the things you want to get done and just go click off a bunch of them. That's a very satisfying thing to do because it gets you out of the way of all those things. They're not blocking you anymore. They're not on your mind. And you can really do something once they're out of the way. So you might want to consider that today. Just shut your radio off now and go out and get it done. We'll keep talking. We'll still be here. But it might be good for you, you know, because this market is really quiet. There are some other markets that are making some moves today, and we'll get around to all of them. I do want to mention that we did have the, speaking politically, we had the what's now considered the dirtiest, most low-down political ad ever produced, and that's the ad where a man looks sad and drawn, and he's sitting there, and he's saying that, you know, Mitt Romney and Bain Capital fired him, and, you know, he, 21 days later, his wife died of cancer. And the truth is that none of that, except his wife dying, is true. As a matter of fact, he was fired from Bain about 7 years or so before his wife died.
Oh my goodness. Is that
yeah, so
true?
7 years went by, and that's when the 21-day count started. And he did have insurance from the company, and he was offered a payout, a buyout, or whatever. So the, you know, the PAC, you know, the people that do the commercials on behalf of the president, the reason those PACs are there is because no one, the president and the opponent, neither of them want the public to think of them as being that nasty. So the PACs do the dirty work.
Yeah.
And this is the dirtiest commercial because it's basically saying that Mitt Romney killed a woman and essentially doesn't care. He just went after, I guess, money. He fired the guy to save money, and then the wife died. And just none of that's true except for the fact that the wife died. The guy was ultimately let go, but that happens in all kinds of businesses. In fact, just about every business that our president has tried to invest your tax dollars in has fired everybody because they're out of business. See? So that does happen. People do get fired in real life.
Yeah,
and people
amazing.
Do lose their jobs in real life. Another $246 million went to A123 Battery Systems, which is almost out of business, and that money may end up going to the Chinese. I think A123 will probably make it, but they were having tough times. So, you know, it's just, you know, what are you going to do? I will say this, and I've said it before on the program, and I won't say it in the negative way that I used to before Dwayne's wife straightened me out, but I will say this. If Mitt Romney doesn't make it clear in a month what his positions are, who he is, how we're supposed to think about him other than complaining about Barack and his principles, if he doesn't do that in a month, then in my estimation, he will absolutely have no chance to win this election.
Sadly,
I think his chances are low.
Yeah.
I think his chances are very low now. But I just want to say, if he has a chance, he better come out and explain who the heck he is to us and say what it is that he's going to do. Because I mean, he may be planning on doing that in October at some point, but that may be a little late with all the negative stuff. People are, you know, burning, these ads are burning pictures in our minds because negativity sells better than positivity and all that. But I want to know. I want to know what his plan is. I want to know exactly what he plans on doing with this very difficult situation the country's in. And I think a lot of people do. A lot of people, boy, wouldn't it be sad if a lot of people voted for Obama just because they could never figure out who Obama, who Romney is. I hope that's not going to be the case. But he better get to it soon here.
Well, and he has to, he has to have some kind of a plan. He's surrounded by enough smart people that, gosh, I mean, you know, there has to be a plan.
Yes, I think there is a plan.
But
I wonder if the plan includes him letting us know sooner rather than later, don't make us wait, because the news is bad enough now. If things start to turn around at all, and Barack gets a little end of the, you know, gets some sail behind him before we know what Mitt Romney's all about, he's cooked. He better get it, you know, he needs to get it out there now. I don't think it's wise to wait. It's my opinion. Go ahead, Quinn.
Well, I think it's becoming like a game of chess at this point. If the Fed announces QE3, and there's still time for that, and whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, the markets want it, and many people will see that as a positive for the economy. I think, and Mitt has said that he doesn't think QE3 is a good idea. And so whatever plan he's going to bring out, I think he wants to perhaps trump the move made by the current administration if they do announce QE3. Because that could be their shot going into the elections to, well, here we go again. We're going to stimulate the economy. And I don't know how he's going to play this. I mean, to me, the fact that he has not made it clear how he will fix things doesn't seem... He's too smart for that.
Yeah, it does seem it's strange you say that. That's how I feel. How come I haven't heard from him? Why are we 90 days away and we don't know what his plan is? You can even go to his website, and it's not really delineated very well on the website, if at all, about what he would do and the back and forth between the negative campaigns and, you know, him firing people and all the other stuff. I mean, there's a lot of ironies in all this. We don't have to go all over it. But I think in the practical sense, everyday practical living, people want to know who this guy is. And yes, he does come across to many people as a rich person that might be out of touch, but we also have a rich president. He's rich by, I mean, good Lord, he's certainly rich by the standards he wants to tax us by.
He got, this guy was in two wars and got the Nobel Peace Prize.
But you know, they're not advertising all that. They're not putting that out there, and it's terrible because they're taking pot shots at him, and he's just being defensive instead of being offensive.
Well,
how does offensive? Get out there and make a statement. Do something.
How does a guy who's commander in chief running two wars get the Nobel Peace Prize?
That is pretty amazing, isn't it?
That right there kind of encapsulates just how ridiculous the last 4 years have been.
Yeah.
Or maybe not ridiculous, but absurd. I don't know if that's maybe a better term.
I just can't understand how people could possibly think that they're happy.
I don't know that they think that they're happy. Here's what really happens. Ideology...
Are people out of work or...
I know, but ideology can take people completely away from reality.
Oh, boy, is that...
Their ideology takes them away. I'll tell you this. The majority of Democrats, people... there's a lot of really decent Democrats, believe it or not. There's a lot of really decent... They're just middle-of-the-road people that have, you know, they have a particular view, but they're not extreme. Our president... You know, by every standard, is extreme. He's far, far left. He may be far left of Europe in the final analysis, but he's far left. But the truth of the matter is that even in his own personal life, he lives more like a Republican than he does a Democrat. and he doesn't see. Yeah, he does not see that contradiction. His ideology has blinded him to the fact that he would never suggest that his own family do the very things that he's asking the government to do, which is to go into ever deeper debt in order to solve a problem or to come up with more and more free entitlement programs. You know, we have about 100 million of the population. 100 million people are on some form of welfare, whether it's food stamps, whether it's any list of the programs. They're getting government aid. 100 million people. That's a lot of checks going out. Wonder who those people are going to vote for. And I wonder if in the end the strategy isn't to get as many people onto welfare and on the government toll so that those people outnumber the rest of us who really want a productive America, and therefore the Democrats just stay in office. Not the Democrats, the far left stays in office forever. Because once they get you on that, it's like a drug. It's like being a drug dealer. They start handing you a check each month, and then they just go after everybody who are productive to go get the money, and they give that to the people who aren't working so that they, the people that orchestrated all this, can stay in power.
Well, the
it's basically
the Dream Act.
Wasn't there some kind of a provision in the welfare that they had to seek work?
They did, but he just ended that.
Oh, that's the one he ended. Oh, yeah.
That's the one he ended, so that people no longer have to.
Yes.
In the old days, you had to in order to get your check. Yeah, that's great. You're on welfare, but now in order to get that, you have to work for it. You have to actually do this or do that, and they had a whole program set up. He just ended that. Why do you think he did that right now? He wants those people to vote for him. He just let a whole slew of the population, I mean zillions of people, who are they going to vote for? For him.
Right.
So the real big picture game in the end is simply take from people who have, redistribute it to people who don't have. Those people who don't have get used to getting those checks, and keep the people that are doing and orchestrating all this in power.
Right.
That's the game. There it is.
The Dream Act, which in principle I'm not opposed to, that was indeed well-timed. That secured him an awful lot of votes.
I'm saying right now he well-timed his ending of the Dream Act's original provisions. He just ended them.
No. The Dream Act is where people who came here, whose parents brought them here as children, and they've grown up here and been educated here, they're not going to be arrested as illegal aliens and shipped off. Now.
Yeah, he did a number of things this year that are basically giveaways.
And you know what? For those kids, they got brought. You know, they didn't cross the border. You know what I'm saying? They were raised here. They feel like they are an American. And now all of a sudden,
I don't have a problem with that in my heart of hearts.
You're not. Yeah,
but notice the timing of it. He didn't do it in year one, didn't do it in year two, but didn't even do it in year three. But in his fourth year, that's when he does it. He made all those people wait, you know, until now.
Now, this Mr. Romney guy, he is such a secretive fellow, he won't even tell anybody who his vice president's going to be.
Yeah. This is a problem. So. And I'm not going to break my promise to your wife, but charisma absolutely wins over content. And our Mr. Romney needs to pick up his charisma, and he needs to pick up his content. He needs both in order to have a shot here. Barack Obama kills him on charisma, murders him on charisma.
Jim makes
a good machine.
Jim makes a good point. He says, get real, Dwayne. Anyone who could actually solve our economic problems would never get elected if they actually told the American public how they were going to do it.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
It requires some very, what are they calling it in Europe, austerity measures.
Right. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
And the longer we wait, the harder it is going to be to do that until finally there will be pigs running in the street and people, you know, setting things on fire, which you know, would make us all look like the Occupy Wall Street people.
Now, Ed's comment, timing is everything, Dwayne. Surely Mitt will have a plan outlined by the convention. Also, we currently don't know what Mitt's plan is, but Obama's shortcomings should be very clear. Unfortunately, many people are voting based on the likability factor and his executive order giveaways and aren't looking
right.
at the record or the dirty Chicago-style politics being used to do a hatchet job on Mitt.
Right. He's just constantly, every few days, there's a new thing they're coming out with. They're accusing Mitt of this. Yep. They're accusing, just constantly keeping Mitt on the run. And nobody's talking about jobs. Nobody's talking about the economy. Nobody's talking about any of that. It's all just a big
battle. Nobody's talking about his record.
Nobody's talking about his record. And he's keeping that. So in the end, this may end up being a brilliantly run campaign by somebody who completely botched his portion of the job out. You know, yes, Mr. Obama, you did come into a recession. And it was a bad one. It wasn't as bad. But you had a hand to play, and you played that hand. You did all kinds of things. You had 2 years where you had an absolute free flow of your ideas into reality through the House and the Senate, since both of those had Democrats, they were held by Democrats. So everything you wanted to do was done, and none of it worked. Not any of it.
And then the last year, it's just been nothing. I mean, it's just been stuck.
This is a president. This is the first time, I think, in history. This is the first time in history where I think we have a president who's never come up with a budget.
I've just never seen, I mean, in my lifetime, I've never seen anything so stuck in my life. I mean, nobody can agree on anything. Nobody can change anything. Everybody that goes in with great intentions, they just get swayed and have to succumb to all the political baloney, and it's very sad.
I know.
I'm going to the voting booth, and everybody that's never been into Congress, I'm voting for. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat. If they've never been in there, I'm voting for them. I don't want any of these guys in there.
Yeah.
My wife made a comment that there was an amnesty program a few years ago where children could become legal if they were already here. That one, you know, I'm not so familiar with that. She mentioned that to me the other day, but I seem to remember that a number of years ago there was some kind of an amnesty thing done, and I don't recall who was president at the time, but I do remember driving down Central Avenue in Phoenix past the immigration office, and there was these long lines of people, and there was some kind of qualification, some kind of thing that if you fit some criteria that you could just like get grafted in. Does anyone remember that? Okay, it was about 7 or 8 years ago. Okay, and my wife says that a young lady that worked for her, Veronica, her husband participated in that. So it was about 7 or 8 years ago. And so 7 or 8 years ago, that would have been during Bush's presidency. Does anyone else in the audience remember that? Because I don't think just one state could do it. I don't think it was an Arizona thing. I think that would have to be a national thing. Or maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
It's just what it is, and I'm hoping that he'll pick up the pace some here. And, when you have 100 million people getting a check from the government for some reason or some kind of thing like that, that's a lot of people voting for this administration. And in the end, it's kind of like a Ponzi scheme in reverse, where the people who are the producers, the people who are working, and the people who are employing, that group will slowly but surely get smaller and smaller, and more money will have to be taken from that group in order to satisfy the group that's waiting for their check each month, and that group keeps the president in power. That's exactly why in Europe, in France, the president there wants to tax the rich at 75%. Why would he need to take 75% if the guy makes $1.3 million? The guy's going to pay like $950,000 to the government of that. It's just ridiculous. Why would they need to do that? They need to do that because the number of people that are productive in that society have fallen off more and more and more. And in order to keep their entitlement programs running, they need to take more and more from the less and the less until finally the whole thing collapses. So that's where we're headed under this president. And if he does get voted in again, he will have – if you think you've seen the real Barack now, you're going to really see the real Barack, because he has nothing holding him back from really letting us all know, you know, coming out of the closet, so to speak, on his most, you know, ideological dreams he has. The ideological thing, you get too into your ideology – and you can't even see your own actions, let alone the actions out there. To say he's out of touch, that's a complete understatement. He's out of touch not just with the public. He's out of touch with himself. He is so buried in ideology in splitting and dividing and conquering and all that stuff. This is a bad man for America. This is, America doesn't work well under this type of, this isn't even leadership, under this kind of cruel and self-supporting, you know, whatever, you rabble-rousing, whatever you want to call it, that he does. And yet, strangely enough, he's very likable, and a lot of people just look at him, they see his youthful little, you know, smile and all that stuff, and that's enough. Right there, right there, that's enough. That right there is enough. That's why I say charisma wins in almost every single case. I'm not saying that he's a Hitler, but Hitler had an enormous, powerful charisma, and he got ordinary people to kill millions of other people through his charisma. So charisma is a very powerful thing. People that would go home, have dinner with their kids and family, and the next day they would go push people into ovens and turn on the gas. That's what he got those people to do. People didn't stand up to Hitler and say, you know, you're freaking nuts. I'm not going to do anything of the kind. No. The charisma, the power, the time and the place, all those things came together. And ordinary people, people you stand in the line at the supermarket with, could be your executioner under a man like that. That charisma wins. That charisma drives people. That charisma sends a vision out. Well, Barack has charisma, and somebody needs to get remit. And I know, like Dwayne says, he has a plan, but he better I hope that plan executes pretty soon and starts, because I, who do not approve of Barack or his so-called policies, I'm getting tired of waiting to find out what this guy's, what the guy that I want in the office, his plan is. Not that I'm going to vote for Barack. There would be no way I would do that. But I worry about a lot of other people who are just going to get tired of waiting and just make their mind up. Yeah, well, I'll just go with Barack. You know, it's fine. I don't even admit, what's he stand for? He killed some woman with cancer or something, you know, or whatever. Whatever's in their mind.
Okay, we're gonna end the political commentary on Cliff's comment. And we'll go to the markets. If it were to be revealed today that Barack Obama was in fact the Antichrist, and I'm not saying that he is. I don't believe that he is. But if that were revealed today, if there were headlines in newspapers and talking heads on TV, today's headlines, this just in, if that were to happen, the 50% of American people who depend on government checks to exist would potentially still vote for him.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cliff, for putting that in, for framing that up. And so that's a little frightening. Certainly for me. And again, I did not call the president the Antichrist. I'm just, this was just, you know, it's the nation has been brought to its knees, and the nation as a whole is developing a bit of a poverty mentality, and something needs to happen really quick to shake this up and to change it, because it's discouraging. We're on our way to become, if nothing changes, we're on our way to becoming a third world country.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. So. There's no doubt. All right, we'll get on to the markets now. Cheerful morning to everyone.
Top of the morning to you, too.
All right, so let's take a quick look at the S&P. This is the market that everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people want to look at and see how it's playing out. There isn't a lot of movement today. The S&P is, you know, a couple days back, we talked about on the radio program that there was a lot of stuff for us at the 1403 level. they've reacted off that, and they continue to have trouble at 1403. I felt at the time that there would be, you know, several hours that they would not be able to get through that, perhaps a day or more. We've had a number of days here now that we're not able to get through that 1403 level, which is interesting for a number of reasons.
Over 3 days, David. It went from Tuesday And then we hit it last night and early Thursday morning.
In the Globex, yeah.
Yeah, we hit it here. Then we hit it over here. We got to 14.03 1/4. Over here, we got to 14.03.75. And you're right, it just could not break above it. And here, it almost challenged it again. I got to 14.02.75 right there. Mm-hmm. And here we sit.
Yeah. Well, in this case, let's just say this. It's real quiet. It's not going to be that good to trade. There might be one move remaining in the day that may be tradable. And some of you may have the skills to trade this better, you know, even though it's very quiet. But I do want to say that under these conditions, where you would have a market that couldn't get through that 14.03 level, if they fail here, let's say we close the week where we are right now, excuse me, 13.96. Let's say we open next week below 14.03, and we still can't get through it. That would tend to make the market want to go down and test 13.80 and 13.79 during next week. So one of the things that I would do as a setup here, and I would only do it with the confirmation of what I just said, which is that we first close this week below that level because we still have several hours left in the day, so something could happen on the upside. But secondarily, we also open next week below that level. And as the market starts to move lower, I would want to trade this down for a test or attempt at 79 or 80 or lower into next week. So keep that in mind. That's a general picture for something you could think of doing. Put your trading system together. You look for your own, you know, everybody has their own kind of confirmation, and see if we can do something with it. On the other hand, if the market does get above the 1400 to 1403 level and starts to trade above there and close above there, then into next week we'd be much more bullish. But because we've had that trouble with it, nothing really bad has happened yet. I mean, the market has sold off, but it hasn't done anything really big. The uptrend technically is still intact, very much so. So this is just a very small, very contained sell-off with not a lot of heat on anything, on either the rallies or the decline. So that, keep that in mind. That would be something that we would be looking for to trade into next week. You know, if we start seeing the market getting back above 1400 and 1403, then the long positions are in game. I would love to play the long side from that point forward as well, in spite of what I just said. But that would mean they have to get above there, trade above there. Much higher prices could be generated from a move like that. Since we've had the failure here, and since it's probably likely that we'll close below 1403, that's the way we'll head into next week, and we'll see how they open. And we'll talk about this on Monday. There's probably a trade there. I would take that trade with the idea that we would take something off at, you know, the 80.79 level, and then hold something for an aggressive exit to be determined at that time. So we'll talk about that as we get into next week. So there's the S&P. Real quiet today. Real, very, very small range. Stuff that we see normally in the summertime. This is the kind of stuff that you see in the summertime. Okay, so if you want, let's move over to the gold market. this would be December gold. December gold, this is Bert told us December. It's just as good. It works for me. So unless you have a problem with it, let's be on December gold. About a week or so back, we had the call for the market to decline to 1586 basis the December contract. They did do that, and they rallied up off that level. Our first target on the upside we talked about was 1616, and that they would have some trouble with that. But as soon as they closed above 1616, you could go long. Yesterday, they did close above 1616. They closed at 1619.9. That means you can go long. And the market had a nice little sachet during the overnight on the downside and moved all the way up today to a high of 1629. The fact that we're above 1616 has to be considered bullish at this point, especially if we close above it. I'd like to see, for those of you, because I know some of you are long, I would like to see today close above 1621. If we can get a close today, daily or on the week above 1621. I like that. That means hold your position overnight and continue to hold. And what we're doing here is we're basing all of this up move on the forecast for the week of August 6th to mark a bottom. But the market put the price level in, the 1586, 1 week early. So what we're saying is it's quite possible it came 1 week early, and we're using the breakout above the 1616 level as our confirmation that it did come in 1 week early. And so from this point forward, I like the idea of, you know, find yourself a stop level that is not too far below 1616, because that level is now going to be, you know, maybe a close on the hourly or daily below 1616. You could use that as a stop, or maybe you could use 1612, something like that, to give the trade some room, because we're way above it now. We're at 1624. Give the trade some room, and we could then continue up to what we talked about, the 1644 to 46 area, which would be the our normal target off of 1586, which is a pretty decent move, you know, if we get up there. So the move is on. So I don't have a lot else to add. That's just the thinking behind the trade, is that the bottom and the turn came in 1 week early, and we're utilizing the market's own behavior to further confirm the idea that it came in 1 week early. If today closes above 1621, that is further confirmation. Again, you hold your position, you place your stops. Always utilize the stop, because it's your way of making absolutely certain that just in case there's some other force, because you can't know everything, that it's at that's work in the market, and the market dives down like natural gas did over the last couple of days, you're protected, and maybe you even made a little, you know, from the point of entry here from yesterday's close at 19, they've made a high so far of 29. I don't know if that meant that you booked anything yet, but probably, you know, it's probably not a bad idea to book something on the way up so you have some protection for the remainder of your position. Okay, so there's gold. That's December gold, and that's all of our reasoning for what we're doing in it. I don't have anything to add to Facebook today. It's a really big company that's going to have gambling. So that's all I have to
Facebook
add.
Facebook is up today.
Yeah, a little bit up today. Very small movements. U.S. Treasury bonds did reach the target we had of 147.31. Yesterday they made a low of 147.10. They're closing above that.
Well, it's actually up almost 3%, David, which is kind
I'm sorry?
Of Facebook. It's up almost...
Is up almost 3%?
Yes, sir.
Where are they trading? I'm showing $21.57.
Right, but they're up 56 cents on the day, which is 2.67%.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now,
if for some reason it just looks small and
well, I know. I agree with you. But I just wanted to point out that because there was a little news piece earlier today. I probably don't have it. I don't have it on my screen anymore. But here, let me hit news real quick and see. Okay. All right. Here we go. This is not the article that I had, but this will probably make my point. What's that? Facebook Incorporated is up today by more than 2%. Option players couldn't seem to resist this show of strength and flooded the stock's weekly options, which expire in, less than 3 hours. Most active is the 22 strike call, which is still out of the money by 50 cents. Nearly 22,000 contracts have traded at this strike today. Can you see my screen?
I sure can.
Okay, I didn't know. Sometimes
yeah.
It doesn't show up. This is from Schaefer.
Right,
okay. The majority of these trades cross the tape at the ask price, and color from Trade Alert, blah, I don't know what that is, suggests that at least some of these calls were being bought to open. Average purchase price was a nickel per contract. The one block of 1,891 traded for 10 cents about an hour after the opening bell. Now, here's the point that I was getting to. The equities rebound today was driven by news. Nope, this is not what I was talking about. Companies settled a privacy dispute with the FTC, also helping prop up the shares. Reports that Facebook's board of directors member Reed Hastings, you may remember him from Netflix, is shelling out $1 million to buy 48,000 Facebook shares. Now, the news that I had read this morning that talked about why Facebook was up today is because the company was talking with some institutional investors, because next Thursday, now keep in mind that the average daily volume on this stock is, let's go back to that really quick, the average daily volume is 28 million shares, okay? Today it's traded 17, average daily volume 28. Now, next Thursday, on August the 15th, 268 million new shares come into the market. That's like nine times the average daily volume. Now, the news this morning was that Facebook was in talks with some institutional investors to put together a package to absorb these shares next Thursday. And that was why the stock was up today.
Okay.
But, okay, if they go and talk, the stock's trading at 21 bucks today, call it. If they go and put together a deal with one of these institutions, the institutions aren't going to give them above fair market value, are they? These institutions aren't going to say, well, because they can buy in the open market all they want.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So the best deal they could get is going to be, I don't know. I don't know what kind of deal they can get, but it's going to be less than whatever the stock's trading at today.
Right.
So I don't see how that's good news and why that would rally the stock. So,
well, I've long ago stopped trying to associate that news with the direct movement of the market, although sometimes it can be very obvious, and many times it just isn't. And sometimes maybe these option players are all just playing for the round number. You know, maybe they're just looking for it to go to 22, and they just want it to go there. People do think that way, and but either way, we'll see next week. It's just a small, like you said, it's 2%, but it sure doesn't look like it, does it?
Can a turn of the cards or a roll of the dice change the odds for Facebook shareholders? In our opinion, many shareholders, such as employees who never spent hard money for their shares to begin with, will be more than happy to cash in their chips even at $5 to $10 a share. As Kenny would say, you got to know when to hold them, you got to know when to fold them.
You also have to know when not to get more facial surgery. That's something he
and
needs to say.
And you know what I just noticed? I didn't notice this before. There was a final paragraph. When they syndicated this article, they took out the final paragraph. The final paragraph, I'll put the unedited version out tonight on the blog. But the final paragraph said that I think, given all that's happened and this dilution that's coming into the market, is that a place to be on the bid is at $5 and look for a double at $10, take half your position off, and then whatever the other half of your position is becomes a free ride. Because I think it could fall to $5, and when it does, I think it could bounce to $10. And if this gambling thing takes off, it could become huge.
Yeah.
And so if you're
this could
able
be the clean out right
so,
before
so,
the big
so
run.
If you're able to get a free position, it was my whole point. And I'm really, it's interesting that they took that paragraph out. Maybe it has something to do with whatever. But it was just my opinion. So, but so think about that, guys. If it gets down to $5, it might be worth an investment. And then it bounces to 10. You sell half of whatever it was you bought, whether it's 10 shares or 10 million. Remember, there's no shortage of shares because over the next 4 months, they're dumping another $2 billion into the market on top of what's already there. Another two. That's B as in boy, billion. Somebody asked Mark Zuckerberg, how do you become a billionaire? Because you just print billions and billions and billions of shares. And apparently it works. Worked for him anyway.
Yeah.
So, all right.
All right, we'll move on. Real quick, nothing really to add to the bond market, the U.S. 30-year Treasury bond market. They went down. We had the 147.31, the 140, 802 or whatever the number was. They've completed that. They're bouncing. If they close the week above those levels, that is the stronger position. For the, those of you who might be looking for longer term, that's okay for short on the short side. But I would be cautious with this market with a weekly close above those levels. It is possible that we will break through those levels next week, but closing above it this week has to be taken as an early indication for strength. Strength means that the bond market would then move higher, interest rates would stay low for some further period of time here. So keep that in mind. Let's see, the euro, I don't have a lot to add to that. We talked about the monthly bottom, which did come 1 month late in the month of July. So under normal conditions, we would expect this market to continue higher. No big roadmap or anything, but just be looking for potential trade signals on the long side. We can move over to crude. We're in the September crude contract. We talked over the last couple of days about the August 7th, August 8th daily top in the crude market, that they're a critical juncture on the upside. Today, they sort of showed their hand and moved down. This is reflected wave. And some of the people, by the way, we did have a reflected wave webinar yesterday. So some of the people that are in on the program with us today, maybe listening, are from that. This was a and welcome to the show. This turn was called a few days back, and the market has gone sideways. And then today finally broke down a little bit. On the week for crude, this is kind of important, a weekly close below basically $92.95 to $93, that would be the weaker position short term. I happen to know some people that had options, sold options at 94, and the market did get up to 94, and they've now sold off of this daily top. So next week, of course, is going to be critical for that level. So normally we would expect, as we always do, multi-day reaction off of a reflected wave daily top. They did show their hand today. They broke down somewhat. And so we'll talk about this market early next week because there may be something interesting to do here with this market, crude. The prices are going up. I don't know if it's in your area there yet, but we've seen some prices rising here in the state of Nevada again. So crude had its big decline. They've firmed up very nicely. It should be interesting to see how they handle this from here. They're in no imminent danger of being a second leg for this wipeout right now, as far as I'm concerned. So I would expect your gasoline prices to stay firm for the foreseeable future.
And we've got a lot of corn and corn issues, with corn going up, and then cattle eventually, because it's going to affect the cattle.
Oh, okay.
Having feed. So the drought is in the central states is really going to start to hit, mm-hmm. evidently, because there's no grass for the cows to eat.
Okay. Yeah. Also, with regard to crude, although, we don't have to, there's a lot of different things that we could talk about, but if we are still going down into August 14th, because today happens to be August 10th, Monday happens to be the 13th, if we do happen to go down lower into the 14th, I like using the 14th then as a bottom for a further advance. We already have, there are some minor things that came together today. This is not reflected wave. This is just the internals of this market. If we do head lower into the 14th, then I like that as using that as buying territory for a long position. So we'll talk about that next week. So you might want to just make a note of that. And then we have Tesla, the stock. Nothing new to add to this except that we had the bounce here came off of a weekly buy signal we gave on the program. Back down at the 26 and 27 level, they've advanced very nicely up to 31. Reflected wave had called for a top on August 8th. There's that same date again. That top in Tesla came one trading day early. So you can see if you look at crude actually came one trading day late. The market itself knew about the top, so to speak, you know, quote unquote knew about it, but it expressed itself by putting the top in one trading day late. And here that same turning point was forecast for Tesla, and it came in one trading day early. So you can't look at the individual stocks or commodities, and if one comes in on time, that it would mean the other one does. Each market has its own extra push and pull that is going to characterize how it treats that turning point. In this case, we have one on Tesla that came in one unit early on a reflected wave as the top. Came in on August 7th, and we're still reacting off that. And in crude, it came in on August 9th. Both of them, though, had clear, obvious reversals on the chart. And this is just an example of how the markets will often, numerous markets will have the same turning point. And I look for that. That's something that's very powerful for me to help me have confidence in either giving the trade out, giving the indication out, or actually trading it, or all of the above. Okay, so we'll move on real quick to a few other markets we have.
Did you talk about soybeans?
About soybeans, sure. We can go to soybeans.
I said, did you already?
No, I didn't, and we'll talk about soybeans on the program. Bert took advantage of this on some level. I don't know if the others did, but on the program back on August 6th or 7th, we talked about, again, August 8th, there it is again, being a bottom in the soybean market. And that we wanted to see a specific price get tested. I think that price was around 15. I don't remember what we gave out, but it was it hit that price, 15.55 or something like that. And Bert can tell you, they closed above that. That was a long signal. We told people that we should have, and that it was also a volatility cycle. I mentioned that on the program. So not only was August 8th a important reflected wave turning point for several markets, it was also a volatility cycle in the soybean market. So the market had a nice move up. I mean, seriously nice. A person that even bought on the close at $15.81 on the 8th, today they continued up to $16.68. Now, would you have held that? That's a full, that's inching in on a whole dollar, which would be, inching in on a $5,000 per contract move. But this is why we're starting to talk about soybeans again, is because they got out of their continued run up and they started showing some more apt trading behavior. This is the kind of behavior we'd like to see more of, because this is a fabulous market. So anyway, they had a nice move up, and their next top would be due now on August 13th, which is Monday. So my preference would be, we don't even have to mention it really at this point. Let's just there's a trade to be taken. If you're long in this market, you definitely want to be out by the 14th. Or if you've already, if you don't want to hold it over the weekend, this is the one trading day early, Friday. So, take that for what it's worth. We didn't give a actual level to buy this market at, but we said that you could buy it on August 8th if they touched this price and closed above that level, and that there was a volatility cycle coming, et cetera. They're up, but just manage, just understand that the 14th is the on-time day for a top in soybeans. So keep that in mind. And that is all part of reflected wave. So you can, for the people that are coming to our October 6th and 7th seminar, this will be one of the examples that we'll be using. You'll get a chance to see more of that behavior. Let's move over to few other markets that are important. I know most people don't trade in cocoa. We've been watching cocoa. I don't have any outright signals now, but the market has had some good signals recently. We haven't given them out, but one in particular on the long side that recently happened. Live cattle that Robin just mentioned, nothing really to add to right now. Same thing with the dollar. Don't have anything really to add to that. Canadian dollar, same thing. The corn market has, spiked up to new highs. I think, Dwayne, did you just say that these were all-time new highs, or did somebody say that?
Yes.
This is like a historical high in corn then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Big number. And let's see what else we have here. Now, natural gas I'd like to talk about. This is interesting. If you put this chart up, you will see why using stops is a good idea. We can use, I don't know if you have the symbol or not, Dwayne, but natural gas for September. Or if Dwayne doesn't have it.
Day. Let's try GNGU2. Let's see what that looks like.
And there you are. Okay, beautiful.
278.
So, yeah, back on August 3rd, we had forecast a bottom for the soy, or actually it was on, I believe it was on August 2nd, we'd forecast a bottom for the market, but we wanted to see the market reach $28.05. We wanted that price to be touched, and if it did and close above it, then you could buy natural gas for multi-day advance. And so it did bottom on the 6th, one day late, on reflected wave, and we went from a low of 28.01 all the way up yesterday to 31.20, which is a big move. That's, you know, $2.50 or $3 in natural gas. And yesterday, after they made that high, they had a very sharp reversal, which now continues down into this day. And we've now broken below the low made on August 6th. And it's very likely they're going to close below the 28.05 level today, which puts the market in an entirely different position than it was.
I think the way you call that is 280. I don't trade natural gas. But
did you say it's 280 in price, the difference?
Yeah, as opposed to 28. Like,
oh, 280. Yeah, maybe you're correct. Thank you, Dwayne.
I think. I'm not positive. Somebody that trades it maybe can clarify it, but I think that's...
Yeah, correct. I think I'm just reading it like I would read the S&P, and so mm-hmm. I apologize. So anyway, this is why you need to use a stop, because after yesterday's run-up, and they made a nice high up there, you would need to be moving a stop up or placing a stop somewhere to protect the remainder of your position. You certainly aren't going to just hold it now and hope for the market to come back, unless you live in a junior high school world where in your own echo chamber of your mind, this is the right way to trade. But when you graduate from the echo chamber of your mind, you'll find that it's really a wise thing to not hold on to positions that were in your favor and now are not, and hold on and hope that they come back. That's not trading. You know, if you're going to give any credence to the term trading, that it has some intelligence behind it, that it has something real to it, that's not it, doing that kind of behavior. So don't do that. Protect yourself. If you happen to be somebody that's in, just get out, because the market could go dramatically lower. This is a very important move that they made today. I think it probably will, and you'd be very happy later to have been out if you have to protect yourself. There was a nice gain on the upside. Any remaining position that you might have been stopped out at would have been a perfectly legitimate stop out, obviously. But to trade without that is just foolish, and I hope we all get over that. I have. I know that. So I hope you have as well. So natural gas, that's a good example. And we'll talk a little bit more about it. This is a market that really moves. It's not one that you hear many people talk about that are day trading and that sort of thing. Okay, so let's see if there's anything else of importance. I think that's right now, Dwayne, there's a lot of markets we skipped over because there's a lot of quiet movement today. So I don't think we have much else to add. The S&P is still within today's 7-point range, and that leaves me to say to everybody, boy, I sure hope you have a wonderful weekend and get out. You know, move around, get some exercise. The people that live in the sunny states like Las Vegas and Arizona, we don't have to worry about getting some sun. The sun gets to us, mm-hmm. you know, no matter where we are. We have to avoid the sun, but it's nice to get outside, do something different over the weekend, and clean up some of those, you know, just like we talk about on the radio program. Get some of those areas that have been creeping up on you. Clean all that stuff up. You make your list. Get a few things done a day, even if it's just a couple. Go ahead.
Back to your Bushman story in San Francisco. Charles says there used to be a Bushman hanging out on Pier 39 in San Francisco.
That's where I think it was.
Scaring the tourists. I was walking my black Labrador, and after the guy jumped out and scared folks behind us, my dog casually walked over and relieved himself when the guy had his back turned, waiting for his next victim. Needless to say, the Bushman was not too happy.
Yeah. I'm thinking the Bushman doesn't particularly care too much about that. The fellow's been doing this on the streets for quite some time. He's probably had just about everything happen. Listen, it is very funny to watch that, but I just want to say there are people who that could actually give a heart attack to. I'm not trying to be a person that says, oh, it's just all in fun and all that stuff and don't wreck it and all that. But people really do freak out so visually when a bush that they just assume that's the bush standing there, when it starts to move, he doesn't have to move much. He just starts to move a little bit, and your peripheral vision, you know, sees something that you know you're not supposed to see, and people really jump.
And some people have conditions.
What's that?
I said, and some people have, you know, conditions. Where,
yeah, some people have conditions, or they fall over and they could hurt, break their hip or whatever. It's concrete they're walking on. It is very funny, and it's very entertaining. It's almost it actually looks just like that old TV program, Candid Camera. Now, am I taking anybody back a few years here? Come on.
Alan Funt.
And let me tell you, the best one, I mean, I don't remember all of them, but I remember being 7 or 8 years old and watching that program. But it was a great version of this, and when you're watching this guy in San Francisco, and I'm sure the listener would agree, it had that flavor to it that you were involved in kind of a candid camera moment. But one of the ones that really struck me as very funny was also in San Francisco because of the hills. So what would happen is they took the engine out of a car. They completely removed the entire engine in the car. And they put somebody at the top of a hill. The car still had brakes. And the guy then just would brake going down the hill, and he would roll right into a gas station that had mechanics there to check your car out. And he would say, yeah. He'd pull right up, and the guy would say, yeah, how can I help you? And he says, yeah, you know, I don't know. I was hearing something strange under my hood. I wonder if you could take a look. And the guy would lift the hood up. And there's absolutely no motor at all. There's nothing under the hood. I always thought that was really funny. And they would do that over and over again. They'd start the guy at the top of the hill. He would roll down. He'd put the brakes on, then come rolling into the station. Yeah, how can I help you, Mac? You know. Anyway, that was really good.
Hey, Iris had a question. Ask David about the remark he made on July 13th, which was a Friday, that August 13th is important. At that time, he mentioned August 6th he had no information on.
So let's see.
I'm not sure.
What was the date that we mentioned it?
Friday the 13th, July 13th.
Okay, Friday the 13th. Let me go back. I'll do my very best because I don't always write everything I say down. I mean, a lot of this is off the cuff as I'm watching the market. But let's go back to Friday the 13th. Was it? And that's in July, mm-hmm. So that's a ways back.
Yep.
Let me just see if we can see something here. One moment. Sorry, I don't have it right immediate.
Well, I'm assuming whatever you said back then about August 13th being important, that would still be important today.
July 13th, yeah. Oh, here it is. I got it. No, wait, do I have it? Hold on.
But
what were you going to say?
What you said was that August 13th was the important day.
Oh, August 13th. I thought we were talking about July, and
okay.
That's why I was going back.
Hang on. You said it on July 13th, but you were looking forward talking about August 13th.
Wow. See, this is what long years of drugs, you can end up like me.
I'm pretty amazed by the fact that obviously she's taken good notes. Or has one incredible memory because she remembers that, you know, on the 13th of July, you said August 13th will be important. So what she's wanting to know now is is that still true? Is it still important?
Yeah.
If so, why? You know.
Yes, it is important, and here's why. Because I mentioned it earlier today. Thank you for reminding me of that. Okay, now I'm starting to... It's all coming back to me now.
Okay.
I feel like what's in The Wizard of Oz when she wakes up and all the people are gathered around her. She saw them all in her dream. What a great show that was.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to admit, The Wizard of Oz, a lot of... I'll get right to the market, but a lot of... it's a fairy tale, but a lot of sort of semi-life and spiritual... application, you know, the man behind the curtain, all the different characters, and the one thought he needed the heart, but all he had to do was start loving, and the next one, you know, each one, it was really practically a miracle of a program. I've always thought about that. There's so many great connections in that program.
And one of the things that made it stand out in your mind and become such an important part of your childhood memories was that it came on TV... once a year, you looked forward to it, you watched it, you enjoyed it, and when it went off, when she woke up and Toto was yapping, and she was back on the farm, and it went off, that, okay, now you had a year to think about all the stuff you just said before you got the opportunity to see her click those red shoes together again. But
that's
kids
right.
today are growing up in a much different age. You can probably go on cable right now, and on one of the 500 stations, or 5,000, you can probably find it. There's probably a Wizard of Oz channel where they just show that movie over and over 24 hours.
There probably is.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Very different. And kids today, they get movies, and I notice with our kids a lot that they want to watch the same movies over and over. Now, mm-hmm. if I had had the ability as a kid to watch The Wizard of Oz multiple times in a day or over the period of a week, I probably would not have the fondness and attachment to it I still have to this day. Because
mm-hmm.
I found out that my son had never seen The Wizard of Oz, I got incredibly excited. I said, oh, my God, I can't believe. Wait, you're how old? You've never seen it? Oh, man, this is the greatest movie ever made. And so now he's grown up in a very different age with a lot of special effects and whatnot. And so he watched it. And so I'm like there going, yeah, what do you think? He goes, well, the dog was cute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
mm-hmm.
no, son, this is all kind of life, huge life implications, and
mm-hmm. it's amazing.
But he goes, yeah, you know, it was real nice, Dad. Thanks for showing me that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
One of the things I love about it is that they had, you know, in life, we have to travel a road. You know, in this movie, it's the Yellow Brick Road. This is just one of the many, many ways you could interpret this movie. But we had to go down this long road with all these things and scary things that would happen along the way to get to the wizard. And the wizard had to tell us something that we could have known right at the start of the road. And only because the wizard told us at that point, then we realized at that point, like the fellow who needed a brain, he suddenly realized, well, he already had a brain. He just needed to be told. He just needed to be given the information that it was already his. The man, the guy that with the heart, you know, he wanted the love. You know, remember when he tells him he has a brain and he comes out with the big mathematical calculation, you know, E equals MC squared, all that, and suddenly he's just smart just because he told him he could be smart. Mm-hmm. And he could have known that before he traveled that whole road. But, I mean, there's all these wonderful life and you know, quote-unquote spiritual applications here in that movie, and it didn't strike me until much later in life at how really miraculous the movie and the connections that you could make to your life and the life, the road that you go down, the things you're trying to achieve that supposedly are at the end of the road, but, you know, just it goes on and on. It's a beautiful, beautiful movie, and I would almost want to have children, more children, just to show them that movie, just for the pleasure of sitting them down. And like you said, Dwayne, give it to them once a year. You know, let them have that. That was a wonderful thing that when you said that, that really reminded me of, yeah, we really knew once a year that program was on.
And wasn't she the first child actor to end up robbing a 7-Eleven on drugs?
She may have been, actually. Yeah. And that alone stands, there has to be an award for that.
No, I mean, she did end up having some very, it was Judy Garland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't she, I know that she's like the cult hero of a certain segment of our society.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's true. That is true. These things happen. But I also like to look at these people that do these wonderful things. You know, a lot of the movie stars and people have very crashed lives. They're very, you know, they've got all kinds of problems. But they, many of them anyway, do reach for the stars in their performance. And I want to look at them also just for their pure performance. I realize, you know, we can, you know, we do. We talk about all sides of life. But many of them reach spectacular heights in their creativity and their performance. And they have very terrible personal lives because they don't know how to live an ordinary life, perhaps, you know, because they are reaching for the stars. I mean, look at how many, you know, how many examples of that we have.
Well, so, Shirley Temple, she didn't blow up. But I honestly, I think, just this never crossed my mind before, but Judy Garland may have been the first child star to, you know, end up with this. I mean, it's become like a theme now, or it has been for many years, that if you're a child star, boy, you're going to end up in rehab or some other horrible thing. That's kind of changed now because we've seen some child stars grow up and turn out perfectly fine, like Michael J. Fox, although he has a debilitating disease now, but that's not because he did anything wrong. It just happened to him.
Yeah, a good example of somebody who, to me, seems absolutely normal and has handled his success without even handling it is Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, okay.
He's never out in the magazines doing wild things. He's never with the big parties. He's married to Angelina Jolie, who's got to be a handful on her own, right, perhaps. But he's handled his own success.
Yeah, she's got weapons, guns, knives. She's got all that stuff.
Yeah, I saw the movie she's in.
She's doing great stuff.
She is doing great stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. They have kids and they have everything else. They've got 19 children, whatever. But he's managed his own success very well.
He wasn't a child star,
though. One of these, you know, little, you know, growing up with the sitcoms. I mean, he wasn't one of those. I think the grueling schedules of the sitcoms and being a star very quickly was, you know, is an issue. It's a challenge for, or even the singers that do it early.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens to, was it Bieber?
Oh, we'll leave it to Bieber.
No, we're not to leave it the singer with the Bieber.
Oh.
The Biebs.
Oh, okay.
We'll see what happens with him since he started
Garland,
so young. Judy Garland
took her own life. She was addicted to speed to control her weight, and she was given the drugs by the studios.
And the studios, this is how they managed. That's how they managed talent, you know.
Oh, when I was professionally dancing, that's what they did with us. You know, if we weren't thin enough, they were giving us drugs, and if we couldn't sleep, they were giving us stuff to sleep. I mean, they, you know, the drugs, we didn't even know what we were taking at the time.
Yeah. Okay, so let's, I do want to answer, who would ask the question, the woman, the
Iris.
Name? Iris. Thank you, Iris, for the question, and the answer is this. The reason I was talking earlier about next week being important if the market failed here, at this 1400, 1403 level, and then they would go back down to test the 80, 79, or lower, is because of what you're saying. The week of August 13th, next week, actually is a volatility cycle for the year 2012 for the S&P. So there is going to be a definite increase in volatility from next week forward for several weeks, you'll see, because of this volatility. Now, the volatility could express itself. The market could certainly break out and break to all-time new highs here rather than turn, and we will judge that by how they act on that 1400 to 1403 level. But I like trading both into the volatility and out of, if I can. I may miss one of those, but that's what she's talking about. I mean, for her to remember that, I must have made, and she certainly has a great memory, and thank you for reminding me, but that is the reason why it is that. Is because I mentioned that because that week is a volatility cycle for the S&P. So,
you know, Jim, that answers the question you just put in a few minutes ago about does August 13th begin a volatility cycle in the ES? But I see that you had also asked earlier about the bonds. On the T-bonds, David, Jim asked, where is the next reflected wave low do? Is it a daily, a week?
Well, let's take a look here. Well, anyway, before I get to that, so finishing up on that for Iris and for everyone else, I think the other fellow did remember that we had talked about the volatility cycle. So August 13th is big, the week of, and so we want to see, this is the thing, I just want to say this. One of the things you can do with the volatility cycle, we talk about it on the program, is you can trade into it. That means you can, as an example, they break above the 1403 and start trading freely above it. We want to buy because we want to trade into the cycle. We want to let it express itself fully as best as we can, following up with a stop. If they fail there, then we want to trade it short into the volatility cycle, like I said, down to a minimum of 80.79 or much lower. And then we'll take the position from there. You know, there's a possibility of a very large turning point. Now, this week being the 1 week early and us potentially making a high, it could be to the downside, very much so. So, you know, we're at a critical juncture here. We're testing some of these critical prices. and we'll wait and see how this plays out. But yes, the 13th, definitely the August 13th in the S&P is the volatility cycle that we had mentioned. So I hope that helps for everybody, Iris and others. And thanks for remembering that. Makes me feel good that people are, you know, writing it down and at least trying to put it to use. Okay. For the bond market, although I don't have an absolute turning point date right here, typically right now we're 1 week early for the August 13th date weekly that we just talked about in the S&P. And because of that, and because of the connection that so often occurs with bonds, if we close the week above the 147.31, 148 level, that's going to be an early sign for a reversal in the bond market for next week. And that's why I was warning people earlier that are short to just be careful with it and, you know, understand that they're showing the early sign of strength here. And I'm tying the S&P cycle to a 1 week early here in the bonds. Now that they've completed their important price. Remember, important turns occur at important prices. Important prices will occur at important turns. And we go over this in the seminar, the Reflected Wave Seminar, October 6th and 7th, Mirage Hotel. If you're coming to that, you're going to learn some very clever, if I may say so, ways to utilize that information. That's a very general statement, you know, that important prices occur at important turns. But I'll show you how to identify what the important price is for a specific reflected wave top or bottom, because price is a big part of this, and I prefer in my own trading to take the trades that are showing me both the important price and the important turn at the same time or right in that little time frame. That's why a few days ago when we were talking about, well, I forgot what the market was, it needed to go down to a particular, it was the natural gas. We would buy it, but we needed it to go down to such and such price. Well, they did do that, and they did it on the 1 day late reflected wave bottom. We came on the radio and said, that's just an outright buy. You just go in and buy. That's a buy the silly thing trade. And why? Because you got the price, you got the 1 day late, you're out of time on the downside, and they shot it up real good. That's a good example of that thing coming together. It won't come together that well in every trade because it won't always be 1 unit late, and therefore there's always a little bit more you know, that you have to be cautious of, but there's a lot of clever things you can do when you've tied down the turn to plus or minus 1 unit a time, and part of that has to do with how you manage to know what the price levels are that are important, and secondarily, to, like as an example, with the, I can't think of which market it is right now, but, with gold, like what we're doing with gold. We have, last week they did the important price. They went down and did 1586, and that came 1 week early for gold on the weekly. So how do we know that the 1 week is there? We absolutely, absolutely really don't know for sure. We know the important price was touched, but we're going to use the breakout from 16, the initial target. We're going to use the breakout from that as the confirmation, and we're comfortable doing that because we know we have a run all the way up to 44 or whatever the number was, 1643 to 45. And so that's another way of confirming a 1 week early. There's a lot of little clever things you can do to take advantage of that plus or minus 1 unit at a time. Once in a while, the market just will hand you the absolute perfect setup. They run down and hit the price. They do it on the 1 unit late like they did in natural gas. And, you know, that's a buy the silly thing. You just jump in. Once in a while, they do that. And that's a beautiful thing. That's why it pays to relax. You know, if you smoke, light that cigarette up, take a nice long drag, something like this. Just look at the markets and just wait for the market to show you the easy and the obvious. They get around to it. Now, I was just joking about the smoking because most of us don't smoke. But I pretend pretty good with my hands. I can pretend like I'm a smoker. I somehow picked up the thing about smoking. You know, so people do that with their face and their hands. They got a whole little bunch of things they do. Mm-hmm. Smoking makes all these little things happen on your face and the way your eyes squint and all that stuff. I can do that, and I don't smoke.
No nicotine required.
What's that?
I said no nicotine required.
No nicotine retired.
Okay, guys, required. Next Thursday, before you go, David, let everybody know, told everybody earlier in the live trading room, but next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, right here, Bert Mulkeel, the Random Walk Down Wall Street guy, will be on the radio program to discuss his book, and his thoughts on the market, his efficient market hypothesis. And David will be able to ask him how come he's able to call turning points if the market is random, and we'll all get
and other things, and not just the turns, but other things, and even you could ask questions. I mean, we all have questions about that if it's so efficient, and it's interesting because he's a leading proponent, it says here, of the efficient market hypothesis, and that hypothesis is that the information gets digested so quickly that there would be no chance for you to take advantage of that. And I have a big question about the efficient market hypotheses on longer term time frames. The market can't possibly take full advantage of a 200 point move on a monthly chart all at once. And so is it, no matter how efficient the market is in digesting certain information, it does take time for the market to move, say, 100 S&P points. So where is your efficient market then? Because even Standard News will put a chart up and they'll put the news event right here and they'll say, here's where the news happened, and then you'll see this big move up from there. Well, that's not real efficient. It doesn't all get chewed up in the moment it does. Maybe there's a flurry of activity and you maybe can't get your little day trade in, but I don't think the efficiency runs out to longer time frames. And his answer may be that those longer time frames don't express it because other news comes in and the market happens to go to those levels. He's also a proponent of what he calls, what was, has been called, it's not his calling, the random walk of the market. Random walk is actually a mathematical term. It's not just a play on words. It means that the market has the same randomness as a drunk standing at a pole, seriously, and if he's, you know, where his footsteps would be random. And he happens to believe that, and he does say here, I just want to point out, this is the first time I've seen this, he actually concedes in this right here, although he has pointed out, I don't think he pointed it out, I think people pointed it out to him, because I've read his book, and I don't remember him ever pointing that out. His book is quite hardcore with the idea that all the movement that happens right now has no connection to any previous movement at all. It's completely random, and that's why the title of the book is A Random Walk Down Wall Street. But right there, what Duane has highlighted, although he has pointed out that some markets are evidently inefficient, exhibiting signs of non-random walk. So, anyway, it'll be interesting to talk with him. We're going to be very nice to him. I'm glad that he's coming on. But for me, it's very interesting because he is coming from the exact opposite approach from which the kinds of forecasting that we do on the program should not be possible. And one of the markets that we do it in a lot with is the S&P, a market that most certainly would be called efficient. It's an extremely traded, liquid market. So, and many other markets that we've done it in. I mean, crude oil and whatever. But it'd be interesting to see what he says. I think over the years, and I hope he's, if he is listening, I don't know this for a fact, but I honestly believe that he has softened somewhat over the years, just from what I just read, to the fact that it may not be, at least for him, it may not be 100% random. He's come off his 100% it's random program, and he softened up a little bit that. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, because he is a mathematician, some of the concepts and ideas he presents we may not be able to swallow right away and talk about.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is a professor, along with writing the book and whatnot, he's a professor at Princeton.
Yeah, so I mean, he's a really, really sharp guy, yeah. And we may not be, we meaning all of us who have questions, we may not be able to digest and understand certain things that he proposes as reasons why what we or whoever else talks with him says, well, what about this? And he may be able to answer it. It may take us 2 weeks to figure out what the meaning of his answer was, you know. So that's possible. But it'll be really interesting. We've wanted to have him on for a long time. I would just love to talk with him. It's not a beat-up session. I would like to talk with him and hear what he has to say about why certain things can, why the markets can be called to specific price levels, big, huge moves, you know, calling for big swings, et cetera. Many times we've done this on the program, a lot of times, over the last 7 years. And is that just random? Are we just lucky? Did we just get lucky? Because that's really my question. Are we just lucky? or is there something else happening? And I'd like to hear what he says.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be it'll be informative, educational. And for any of you that have questions, think about it between now and then.
Good idea.
And email them in so we can kind of glean the best out of the bunch. And I don't know how much – he's a really busy guy. It took me – I've been working – I sent you that stream of emails, David. It reached back to November of last
year.
We've been working on putting this interview together since November of last year.
Yeah. It's been quite a while.
So he's a busy guy. I don't know how much time he's going to give us, but we'll talk to him for as long as he wants to talk.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. Okay, well, listen, I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Thanks for the questions today. Dwayne, have a wonderful weekend as well. I'll see you guys on Monday. And I'm looking forward to the interview, and I'm looking forward to next week because there really is a lot of important things happening, both in the S&P and a few of these other markets that are setting up.
And may I leave you with this quote?
Absolutely.
Of course.
If I had to live my life again, I'd make the same mistakes only sooner. I got one more. When in doubt, make a fool of yourself. There is a microscopically thin line between being brilliantly creative and acting like the most gigantic idiot on earth. So what the hell? Leap.
Oh, there you are.
There you go.
And
all right.
And when is he coming next week? Is it Monday?
Thursday, 11 a.m.
Oh, Thursday.
Eastern.
And I'm going to try to be calling you from the floor on Tuesday morning.
Okay.
We're going to try to be calling in from the CME floor down in Chicago.
Have a safe trip.
Thank you very much. And everybody have a very, very wonderfully happy, safe weekend. And I will see you when I get back on Wednesday.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Well, have a safe trip. Have a good time.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
You're going to meet Bert.
You're going
to meet Leslie.
Thank you,
David. You're going to be down on the floor there with Ben. So wave at us on TV.
Okay. I'm going to try to walk behind Rick Santelli.
Okay.
And see if you can catch me.
Buy him a pack of smokes. He'll probably let you say something on the microphone.
Does he smoke?
Oh, he's a big smoker. Well, yeah, according to somebody I know who gets off the train every morning in Chicago, says the guy's like a chimney, so I don't know.
I'd like to bring him a T-shirt or something that he would...
Bring him some Nicorette.
No.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
Okay.
Thanks, Dwayne. See you, Robin.
Right.
Thanks, everyone.
Notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you. With each day comes a new.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us here. As well, we opened up the show. The markets were flat. Now we're closing the show out 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 40 seconds later, the market's still flat. We've touched one weekly trading zone the entire week. Last week, we only touched two. This week, we only touched one. That is extraordinary behavior. Now, next week, based on what David was just talking about, we're headed into a volatility cycle. So this would be the quiet before the storm. And as quiet as it's been for 2 weeks, last week we thought it was quiet until we saw this week. This week, we've traded in the entire week has been inside of a 16-point range. That's highly unusual. So if, in fact, this is the quiet before the storm, then it should be quite a storm, which will bring a lot of volatility to the markets over the next few weeks. And volatility creates opportunity. Flat markets, the river's not flowing, not much opportunity there. So with that said, I'd like to invite you to take our free trial if you've not done so. Go to cfrn.net/apply. Name, email address, that's all you need. No credit card required. You will get a confirmation email You have to find that, whether it's in your inbox, your bulk folder, your spam folder. You got to track it down. You got to click the link to confirm, because we use a double opt-in process because we don't believe in spam. So we hate it as much as you do. And you got to click that link. Once that happens, you'll get another email that will give you the link to go download the platform, the charts, just like I have, the indicators, okay, all the indicators that we use to trade with in the live trading room. You'll be able to install those on your computer, on your platform. You'll have live data flowing just like this, okay. You'll get a link and a password to get into the live trading room for the next 5 trading days. So whether you sign up on a Friday afternoon or a Wednesday, you still get 5 consecutive trading days in the live trading room. It gives you an opportunity to watch us trade live markets in real time with real money, and gives you the opportunity to utilize the charts, the data, the indicators, the simulator to put on and take off trades, so that you can make an intelligent decision if what we have to offer is right for you. We have enough faith in what we offer that we let you use it for an entire week. No holds barred. We keep nothing back. We give you everything. Use it. Work with it for an entire week. And at the end of a week, if you found enough value in it that you want to keep it, well, then you become a partner. If not, we remain friends, and you're invited to still tune into this radio program each and every day, Monday through Friday at 12 noon Eastern. And I'll see you back here come Monday. It is the weekend, so be sure to spend some quality time with your family. Of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.